Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, the 31st of May, Pope Leo XIV ordained 7 men to the priesthood in a mass in St. Peter's Basilica. Hamas leaders review a ceasefire proposal from the Trump administration, which Washington says has Israel's approval. And over 150 people have died in a flood in north central Nigeria, where emergency responders are at work. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. Pope Leo XIV celebrated Mass with the rite of ordination on Saturday morning in St. Peter's Basilica. In his homily, the Pope urged the newly ordained priests to welcome God's grace so that they might remain close to the people they serve as credible witnesses. Devin Watkins reports.
Pope Leo XIV ordained several men priests on Saturday during Mass in St. Peter's Basilica. In his homily, the Pope highlighted the relationship between the people of God and their priestly identity, which he said will grow to make them fully a part of the people to whom they are sent. He urged the new priests to always keep in mind that a priest's identity is rooted in union with Christ, the eternal and high priest. Priestly ordination, he added, shows that God has never abandoned his people, remaining with us like a gentle breeze that restores hope and unity.
Non è rumorosa la gioia di Dio, ma realmente cambia la storia.
God's joy is not loud, he said, but it truly changes history and draws us closer to one another. Pope Leo invited all priests to model their lives after Jesus by binding themselves to the real world, since the people they serve are flesh and blood. Pope Leo XIV noted the Church is outward-looking by her very nature, reflecting Jesus' own life, passion, death, and resurrection, which is made present at every Mass they will celebrate. Looking to St. Paul's ministry, the Pope said priestly ministry is one of stewards, not overlords, since the mission belongs to Jesus and no one is called to replace him. As they become priests, they are invited to make room for the faithful and for every creature in whom the risen one draws near and loves to surprise us, he said. Pope Leo then emphasized St. Paul's words to the community of Ephesus.
Voi sapete come mi sono comportato con voi.
You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. Ours, said the Pope, should be a life that is transparent, visible, and credible. The Pope pointed to the risen Christ's wounds, which are both a sign of humanity's rejection and a sign of God's forgiveness and missionary mandate to the Church. In conclusion, Pope Leo XIV invited the 55,000 people present at the Mass to gratefully sustain these new priests in their ministry. Together, he said, we unite heaven and earth. I'm Devin Watkins.
Three saints placed as role models for navigating the challenges faced by the modern French Church. That's the idea at the heart of a new letter sent by Pope Leo XIV to the French Bishops' Conference, where he stressed the significance of the upcoming 100-year anniversary of the canonization of three French saints. Joseph Tulloch tells us more.
The first of the three figures mentioned by Pope Leo was Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, a 19th-century French Carmelite nun. The second was Saint John Eudes, a French priest, founder of the Congregation of Jesus and Mary and the Congregation of Our Lady of Charity. The third figure mentioned by the Pope was Saint Jean-Marie Vianney, more commonly known as the Curé of Ars, a French priest celebrated for his pastoral zeal, confessional practice, and his intense prayer life. In his letter to the French bishops, Pope Leo said that the saints he had mentioned, quote, loved Jesus without reserve, in a simple, strong, and authentic way. Pope Leo added that celebrating the centenary of the canonization of these three great French saints is, quote, an invitation to give thanks to the Lord for the wonders he has accomplished in this land of France over many centuries. This Christian heritage still belongs to you, Pope Leo stressed. It still deeply permeates your culture and remains alive in many hearts. That is why I hope that these celebrations will not merely nostalgically recall a past that is long gone, but will awaken hope and a spark of new missionary momentum. End of quote. Having given France these three great saints, Pope Leo XIV wrote, God can once again renew the wonders that he accomplished in the past. Could not Saint Thérèse, the patroness of missions, become the patroness of missions in the very lands where she was born? the Pope asked, and he added that the two priestly figures, the anniversary of whose canonization is being celebrated, could also give courage to young men to respond to God's call, especially in a time of priest shortages. Bringing his letter to a close, Pope Leo invoked the intercession of the three saints on behalf of France and the country's Catholics, who, he said, press on amid contrary and sometimes hostile winds of indifference, materialism and individualism. I'm Joseph Tullock.
As of late May 2025, the Gaza Strip continues to face an unprecedented humanitarian disaster. Approximately 2.1 million residents face acute food insecurity, and a UN humanitarian corridor confirmed that 100% of Gazan population is at risk of famine. The situation is exacerbated by a prolonged Israeli blockade that has hindered the delivery of essential aid for more than 80 days. And as Nathan Morley reports, Hamas is currently reviewing a ceasefire proposal from the Trump administration, which Washington says has Israel's approval.
Senior Hamas official Bassam Naim said the group was conducting a careful review. President Donald Trump told reporters that the deal was very close after the White House press secretary said that Israel had signed off before it was sent to Hamas. The plan reportedly calls for a 60-day pause in fighting, with Hamas releasing 33 hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners at a 30-to-1 ratio. It also includes 600 daily aid trucks entering Gaza and the return of displaced Palestinians. The deal's initial phases lay groundwork for a permanent ceasefire. NBC News, the network which broke the story, has not independently confirmed the framework, though. Meanwhile, UN officials are describing conditions in Gaza as being catastrophic, citing airstrikes, malnutrition, and a breakdown in public order. The UN said 5 aid trucks entered on Thursday, the first in 4 days, while 60 others had to turn back due to fighting near the Kerem Shalom crossing. Israel launched its Gaza offensive after Hamas led the October 7, 2023 attacks that killed 1,200 people and they took 250 hostages. Since then, more than 54,000 people, including thousands of children, have died in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry. In related regional developments, Syria's Information Authority's chief has said that indirect negotiations with Israel have begun to address the reoccurring Israeli strikes in the country. In a press conference following a cabinet meeting chaired by the Syrian interim leader, it was revealed that indirect talks between Syria and Israel remain in progress, focusing on the enforcement of the 1974 disengagement agreement. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And in Ukraine, the country continues to report deaths from Russian attacks in the country. And as the humanitarian situation worsens, efforts to return to the negotiating table remain clouded by uncertainty. Francesca Merlo reports.
Ukrainian officials say at least 2 civilians, including a 9-year-old girl, were killed on Saturday during a wave of Russian drone and missile attacks across the country. More than 100 drones and 5 missiles were launched overnight and into the day. Ukraine's Air Force says nearly half were intercepted or failed to reach their targets. The young girl was killed in the village of Dolinka in the southern Zaporizhia region, and a teacher was also injured in the same strike, which destroyed a family home and damaged several others. In the southern Kherson region, a man also was reportedly killed by the Russian shelling. As the violence intensifies, President Volodymyr Zelensky has warned that about 50,000 Russian troops have amassed near Ukraine's northeastern border with Sumy. Authorities have now issued mandatory evacuation orders for 213 settlements in the region amid fears of a renewed Russian push. Officials believe Moscow is attempting to carve out a so-called buffer zone inside Ukrainian territory. Ukraine's top military commander, Oleksandr Syrsky, says Russia is concentrating its offensive efforts on Pokrovsk, Toretsk, Liman and the Sumy border. He also said Ukrainian forces remain active near Russia's Kursk region, a claim the Kremlin denies. Meanwhile, 14 people, including 4 children, were injured in drone strikes on the Russian border town of Rilsk and the nearby village of Artakovo. Moscow has proposed a new round of peace talks in Istanbul scheduled for Monday. While Ukrainian officials have expressed willingness to attend, they are still waiting for a formal memorandum from Russia outlining the basis for the talks. President Zelensky called the delay bizarre and accused Moscow of undermining diplomacy. The Kremlin had previously committed to sharing the document ahead of the meeting. Without it, Kiev says it remains unclear what form the discussions will take or whether they are being approached in good faith. As civilians continue to pay the price of war, humanitarian agencies are once again calling for dialogue rooted in justice and international law and for all sides to place human life above territorial ambition. I am Francesca Merlo.
And turning to the United States, President Donald Trump's administration can temporarily revoke the legal status of over 500,000 migrants living in the country, which was a Supreme Court ruling yesterday. The ruling also put on hold a previous federal judge's order stopping the administration from ending the parole immigration program established by former President Joe Biden. The program protected immigrants fleeing economic and political turmoil in their home countries. And this new order puts roughly 530,000 immigrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela at risk of being deported. And turning to the African continent, over 150 people have died in flood-struck north-central Nigeria, where emergency responders are at work. And as Linda Bordoni reports, the government has activated temporary shelter assistance for the more than 3,000 displaced persons. But more needs to be done to prevent foreseeable tragedies.
The rural town of Mokwa, some 380 kilometres west of Nigeria's capital Abuja, and a major trading and transportation hub for northern Nigerian farmers, bore the brunt of the devastating flood that has killed at least 151 people. It is feared there are many other victims, and rescuers are searching for possible survivors after torrents of pre-dawn rain early Thursday triggered the sudden and intense flood that built rapidly in about 5 hours, leaving roofs barely visible and residents waist deep in water. At least 500 households across three communities were struck, and officials said two roads were washed away and two bridges collapsed. President Bola Tinubu expressed condolences. He said he had directed the activation of an emergency response to support victims and accelerate recovery. He also said that security agencies have been asked to assist in emergency operations, which remain underway amid concerns that more bodies could be recovered in remote areas. The president promised that no Nigerian affected will be left behind or unheard of. Meteorologists, meanwhile, warn that more rain is expected in the coming days. Flooding is common during Nigeria's wet season, but prolonged dry spells worsened by climate change and excessive rainfall that leads to severe flooding during the brief wet season have increasingly affected communities in the north. A flood risk analyst at the University of Nigeria noted that flooding has become an annual event between the months of April and October. However, he warned that while flood risks have long been identified, there has not been much political power to implement this change. Last year, more than 1,200 people died and up to 2 million were displaced by similar disasters across the country. I'm Linda Bordoni.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our website and our social media accounts, where you can follow along with our new Pope, Leo XIV. Many thanks today go to Mario Scatton in studio. And of course, a special thanks to all of you for joining us. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.